Good afternoon, friends, and thank you for joining us. WISR 680 AM. I'm Tyler Friel, and we're continuing with our Meet the Candidates conversation. And our next candidate is Scott Gillette. He is running in the Republican primary for the 8th Legislative District. He is opposed by Tim Bonner, who is the current state rep. Scott, good afternoon, and thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon.
So, Scott, I've asked this question from every candidate, and I'm going to ask it to you. Why do you want to be a state representative?
That's a very good question. I've been serving the country in the military. I did 10 years in the military and retired from the United States Navy. And I've served the community as a soccer coach, vice president of the soccer association. I'm a director of Best Robotics here. It's a small, it's a national organization that promotes STEM and youth, high school age and middle school age students, get them interested in a career in that path. I'm also a borough councilman here for the 5th Ward in Grove City. I'm also the vice chair of the Wolf Creek, Slippery Rock Creek Council of Governments for the area. And I've always had this feeling that, there's something more important for me to do, which has pushed me into serving the community in some way or another. Even when I was in the military, I served the community, during work for orphanages and things like that. So as far as serving the community, that's always been something I've done. I grew up in a small family farm, and we always helped out our community. Kind of helped out neighbors, helped out friends. And we always try to make things better for everybody. And that's kind of where I'm at as far as running for the office. I think there's some things that I can bring to the table that other candidates can't. I have an extremely diverse background. I've worked in many fields, at least 6 different ones that I can come up with the top of my head, as well as living in several countries and several different states. So I bring a lot of background knowledge that probably the average person going there wouldn't have.
And we're here with Scott Gillette. He is a candidate for the 8th Legislative District. Scott, when a lot of candidates get involved in the race, some of them have a big idea, something that really they want to accomplish in Harrisburg. Is there an idea for your campaign that you would say, boy, if I got to Harrisburg, this is something that I would really like to accomplish?
Well, what I'd really like to accomplish, I would like to figure out how we can make sure that we have sustainable businesses here in this district. As a youth, I remember there being very large corporations here. They had jobs that would handle an entire family. They would provide for an entire family, just a single job. We're in a different time. That's not possible, but I know a lot of youth, and having worked with a lot of youth, that most of them are working 2 to 3 jobs each. So you get a married family, and they're between the two adults in the family, they're working anywhere from 2 to 6 jobs just to sustain a fair way of life. And I think if we can figure out why companies don't want to come here, they always seem to be moving to Western Ohio or Eastern Ohio or West Virginia or up in New York State, but they seem to avoid Pennsylvania, and we need to get that corrected, whether it's just red tape, whether it's taxes, or whether it's just not the right opportunities for them. We need to figure out what that is and bring those companies here. We need to keep our youth. The community is aging rapidly, and the number of youth in the area to sustain the community is dropping. So that's probably the number one thing I would like to try and figure out. I always want to be the guy that is accessible. I want to show up for the local meetings and whatnot. I also want to make sure that I'm available to ask a question of. So I'll be spending a lot of time doing those things and finding out what the community wants of me and what the community wants of the state. I think for a long time the state's been dictating to the communities what they can and can't do, and I personally think that the state really should only be given the local government's guidelines to follow.
Well, I guess that in turn could lead to my next question, which is about the state's response to the coronavirus. What are your thoughts on how the governor's office has handled it, and what are your thoughts on how the state overall has handled this situation?
Well, I think the governor started out with a good plan, and he's gone awry since. The reality of the situation is not every community is the same. Not every community is having the same problems, and we're kind of being all lumped together and made to believe that we're all having the exact same problems when it's not really the case. And it goes back to what I was saying before. I think the government, the state, especially the governor's office, is looking at us as one big entity. And I think that each county and each municipality can handle the crisis given that criteria to follow. And it would make it a lot easier on the government. It would spend less money and less time for our state government if they would do that. We're wasting a lot of time, a lot of valuable tax money, doing what we shouldn't need to do. I had biological warfare training in the Navy, and that was something that was discussed. Basically, there would be a set of criteria that was shifted to the local commands, and local commands would assess their situations and apply that information as necessary. There's a lot of communities that were barely impacted by the coronavirus, and they had to shut places down and shut things down that they didn't need to, where protective gear was probably really all that was needed at the time. Each person takes care of themselves, and each person will help others by taking care of their own self. So what they've done, it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction at first, and to initially close everything down was not a big problem, but to leave it closed for as long as it has, the crisis that's coming is going to be every bit as bad, if not worse, because of the closures. The economic impact is just going to be huge, and it shouldn't have had been. So I really don't appreciate the governor and the way he ran things at that point. The legislation is trying to make impact on that to help out the communities, and again, that's just wasting their time, and the governor has done it. And what's really discouraging to me, it almost feels like, and I can't, there's no way to prove that, but it almost feels like this has almost become a political event, and they're trying to impact how elections are going to be won and lost, and it's disgraceful that it should be done that way. Even if it wasn't intended to, it sure looks that way. And I'm hearing that from the constituents of this district, that they're very upset with the fact that some politicians in office have politicized this whole process. And it doesn't need to be. It's more about health and welfare than it is political stature.
One of the big challenges facing the state legislature as a result of the economic downfall from all of this is basically trying to come up with a budget for next year. If you were to be elected, Scott, how would you be, what are your thoughts on the budget process, especially with the anticipated shortfall that the state is facing?
Well, that's going to be a complicated process no matter what. And there's going to be places where people are not going to be happy with the outcome. There's going to have to be grant monies that have been promised or maybe could have been promised that are going to have to be dropped. Construction projects for the state are going to be reduced. And all those things add to a waterfall effect of the whole budget shortfall. So anytime you do any cuts to personnel, you end up not promoting growth, but you end up promoting a bigger deficit than you had in the first place. So working through all that, we're going to have to figure out a good balance, you know, of what goes where, and we need to make sure that you know, pay raises for our politicians are stopped. Any annual increases for inflation or anything else need to be stopped. That goes all the way through our government workers, to our teachers, to anybody and everybody. It's one of those situations where it's going to be sacrifice for all in order to make things right. And if we can do that on a scale where we're not impacting the loss of jobs, we keep our income base, and we can move forward a little bit easier, but the impact damage to personal businesses is where we're really going to have to do our best work. We need to make sure that those people are encouraged, and that we can get them back in business, and that we can get that tax base back to where it was. Of course, people, via force of habit or just plain being scared, are going to be apprehensive about going back and using local businesses as much. I mean, you know, you can see it all over the news that online purchases have gone through the roof. And not only because they can't get to the stores to get it, but because of fear. And we need to make sure we get that all back and up and running. So programs that we put into effect should probably be programs that help out small businesses. Small businesses are the backbone of our country and our community here. You know, we're not the big box store type area. We have a few of those, but we're just not that area.
We're talking with Scott Gillette. He is a Republican candidate for the 8th Legislative District in the Pennsylvania State House. Scott, obviously, Butler County has two major higher education institutions. There's Slippery Rock University, there's Butler County Community Colleges, or Butler County Community College, and then there's a myriad of local school districts. I want to talk about funding for education here. Obviously, the state supports Slippery Rock University a little bit. It supports Butler County Community College a little bit. How do you view funding for education? Do you think is that the correct amount of money that is currently allotted? Should there be more? Should there be less? What's your view on higher education funding?
Higher education funding is very essential. I mean, we need to have people here that that can do more advanced tasks with a better education. Education is the crux, the cornerstone of our society. It can be both. So. I don't have a problem with funding. I see with the budget the way it's going to be in the next year or two that funding to those schools could be reduced only because there is a shortfall. Not that it's necessarily good, but they do good work for us, and they produce good employees. They also produce people who are well educated and can make good sound decisions based on that education. You know, I work in higher education, so I understand where these shortfalls come into play. You know, last year where I work at Grove City College, we did not take a pay raise, and I'm thinking this year we're not going to do the same thing again, just because it's something that needs to be done to sustain based on, you know, this current situation. So I don't think it's a big problem for us to do that. Now, the colleges themselves are an important part of the tax base also. Not only do they take taxpayers' money, but they also put back into the tax base through you know, the students in the local community. People from out of state come in, they drop their money onto the local community and local businesses, and then the businesses pay taxes on all that money. So, you know, as far as they go, we need to have those facilities up and running, and we need to have them well staffed and well populated with students. If we have to reduce the size of them for a year or two to get everything back up to a good base, then that's what we should do.
We're talking with Scott Gillette. He is a candidate for the 8th Legislative District in the Republican primary. The size of the legislature, Scott, 203 state representatives, 50 senators. It's one of the largest in the country. Do you feel it is an adequate size? Should it be reduced? Should it stay the same? What is your thoughts on the size of the legislature?
I've been asked that question a bunch of times, and to be honest with you, the size of the legislature doesn't bother me as much as the way it's laid out. You know, we have some problems with, you know, there's a movement out there to redistrict, you know, Fair Districts, I believe is the name of the group. And it's always been one of those situations where no matter what you do, there's a million shades of gray. And there's always somebody who's going to be biased. And even if they're not biased, they'll appear biased. So at the time, we probably should reduce the legislation. The problem we have in Pennsylvania, and I don't think we're unique in the country, is that we have large pockets in the state who make up huge numbers of voters. You know, the population is concentrated into about a half a dozen large, you know, a half a dozen places in the state. And, you know, I was talking with one of our senators, Michelle Brooks, and she told me that her district, it takes her almost 3 hours to drive across her area. It's based on population. And there's folks out in, Philadelphia area where they can walk across their district in 10 minutes. So how do we accommodate for that? We want to make sure that, you know, everybody is represented and everybody has access to a representative. That being said, I think that for now, and if it's not being worked on, it should be worked on as some way to maybe reduce that over the long run. It's going to take probably several years to get to that point. And that's probably not what taxpayers want to hear. But that is a good place to reduce the budget.
Finally, Scott, given every candidate this opportunity, what's your final pitch to voters?
Well, my final pitch to voters is that I'm different than most of the folks that are probably going to be trying for this job. This position is been held by white-collar workers for a long time. I have done everything from blue-collar work to white-collar work. I work in the education field. I understand the youth. I understand what they're looking for so I can build for the future. I also know that there are a lot of things that I can bring that can't be brought to the table. I have a degree in engineering, and you know, I do a lot of critical thinking. So, you know, a lot of my job is based in for the last 30 years on solving problems. I did a lot of administrative upgrades when I was in the military. I've worked, like I said, I've worked in a lot of communities around the country. I'm very people oriented. You know, I want to make sure that the folks in Butler County as well as Mercer County have a representative. I want to make sure there's office hours available in each area so that they're handy, that people don't have to drive a long distance if they need to go into an office and talk to someone. So there's a lot of things I can bring. I want to be available so that if they need to speak with me directly, I may not be able to do it right at the moment they call, but I can. I also want to be able to make sure that I bring back gun control, as far as, every person has the right to carry. I believe that fully. I want to provide services for the elderly. They seem to have a hard time navigating paperwork and things like that. I also want to make sure that, we have concealed carry, programs out there available. I want to be able to set up some sort of breakfast and stuff so that I can hear what people are wanting to do and what they want me to do. The real thing for me is to make sure that I hear what the constituents of the 8th District want of me. I'm going there not to follow my agenda, but I want to go there and follow the agenda of the local communities. They're important. I think they deserve to have a bigger voice than what I think they're getting right now. And I want to make sure that everyone in those communities is well represented in the state.
Scott Gillette, he's the candidate for the 8th Legislative District in the Republican primary. Scott, thank you for your time.
Thank you.